Hello, and a very warm welcome to this week's recorded service. We are delighted that you can join us today to worship God and to sing his praises together in this online service. This Sunday evening, the 11th of April, we will meet together in person at 6 p.m. in Glenelg Church as our Sunday evening services resume. Social distancing and track and trace are still in place, so if you would like to attend, please call me on 01599 522 719 to let us know that you intend to come to the service. We'll be watching a sermon series by R.C. Sproul called Surprised by Suffering, which explores the biblical teaching on suffering. It's an excellent series, and I encourage everyone who can to attend. We also intend to run a Zoom meeting from Glenelg Church so that anyone who does not feel ready to resume meeting together can still join us online. But to today's service. Shortly, Jay Tiley will lead us in prayer. If you do not know Jay, he is a fine young Christian man who is engaged to be married to our very own Jordan Lane. And they intend to be married this July in Glenelg. Finlay MacDonald will deliver the youth talk, and Ken MacDonald will preach from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13, verses 44 to 58, in a sermon entitled Looking Deeper, The Heart of the Matter. But first we will sing together to God's praise from Psalm 84.
How lovely is thy dwelling place, O Lord of hosts, to me. The tabernacles of thy grace, how pleasant, Lord, they be. My thirsty soul longs vehemently, he faints thy courts to see. My very heart and flesh cry out, O living God, for thee. Behold, the sparrow findeth out an house wherein to rest. The swallow also for herself hath purchased a nest. In thine own altars where she safe her young ones forth may bring. O thou almighty Lord of hosts, who art my God and King. Blessed are they in thy house that dwell, they ever give thee praise. Blessed is the man whose strength thou art, in whose heart are thy ways. Who passing through Baker's Vale, therein do dig up wells. Also the rain that falleth down, the pools with water fills. So they from strength unwearied go, still forward unto strength, until in Zion they appear before the Lord at length. Lord God of hosts, my prayer hear, O Jacob's God, give ear. See God our shield, look on the face of thine anointed dear.
Our Father, we thank you for your word and your presence with us today, with each one of us, every one of us, Lord, today. And we thank you that we are now a part of your story and bringing you glory. Lord, we look at the story of the Bible, and your majesty and the way that you show us your presence and your might and your awesome power. Lord, we see your mighty hand both bringing men and women to ruin, whilst you gently run the thread of your glory through all things, bringing all things under dominion of your name. Lord, we thank you for this. We thank you that we serve the highest king, the high king, who is in command and controls all things, sovereign over all things. We thank you for that, Father. Father, we're not worthy of your love and respect or grace, and yet you have given this to us as a gift. We mess up every day, and Lord, on this Sabbath, on this rest day, we repent, and we just ask, and we bring all these things to mind, and we want to just present, use this day as an opportunity to give these things to you, Lord, to use our sin as an opportunity to repent and rely on you even further, going deeper with you, Lord. We thank you for our salvation, and the privilege of being children of God, Lord, knowing that our identity is rooted in you. We thank you that compared with the world, we have a hope and a savior whose name is Jesus, your son. And because of him, we are adopted into your family because of what he did at the cross. Lord, we thank you that you ultimately knew us before we were even born. Lord, elected us to share in these things with you. And Father, we ask that you would just keep us in that humble spirit of thankfulness and grace. Lord, we pray for Ken and his family. And we ask that you just bless him, and bless him as he leads this congregation, continues to lead and show and try to emulate your leadership of the church. Lord, we ask that you bless his family, bless his wife, Jane, bless his sons and daughters, Lord. And we ask that you bless also the elders as well. Lord, we ask that you'd help them to lead more effectively, more godly, in more godly ways. And the Lord, they would just be leaders in their communities, in their families, and in this region of Scotland, Lord. Lord, for this region, we pray as well that ultimately as our nation turns away from you and continues to turn away from you, we ask that you would just bless and bring people to the knowledge of you. Bring them to salvation, Lord, and show them your good works and the hope that they can have in Jesus. Father, we ask that you would just work these things in your spirit and that you'd give us all the strength and courage to share your gospel with our friends, family, and those even in the shop. Lord, thank you for everything in the way that you have helped all of us to endure in a way that the world cannot know. And yet that is what gives us our hope and our strength. Our Jesus, our King and our Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Hi, everyone. I hope you're doing well. Today we're looking at Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 to 18. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather serve one another, humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of your flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the spirit, you are not under the law. Paul's reminding us here, once again, he's reminded us all throughout the book of Galatians, we are free. The Christian life should be a life of freedom, freedom from sin. We're called to be free. Jesus has come to open the prison doors, to set the captives free. Paul is saying we can't take this freedom, though, and simply use it to turn back to the sin that God has set us free from. To not accept the grace and forgiveness of God and then to start sinning again. Because after all, God's just going to forgive you again, isn't he? Paul's saying that we can't go on sinning. God has called us to a better life, to a life of more freedom than the sinful life that we have left behind. And believe me, it is a better life. God is the author of our lives. He knows us so thoroughly. He created us. Do you not think he knows the best way for you to live? And the rules the Bible gives us to follow and the rules the church goes on about are not rules to stop us having fun. They are the framework in which we can live our lives to their fullest. And that might seem hard to understand at times, but it really is true. God has called us to serve one another humbly and to love your neighbor as yourself. And there are few things more satisfying in life than doing these things. Serving other people, loving our neighbors, loving God. And it's really exciting, actually, to follow the Spirit's guidance in our life. Who will he lead you to? In what situations can you serve? Where can you be the salt and life of Christ? It's exciting to follow the Spirit, to see what situations he'll draw you into and the amazing things that God can use you to do in these testing times in people's lives, where you can come in and because of the Spirit in you and because of God working through you, you can actually make a difference to people's lives where we would be hopeless before. We can offer something of value to people. Of real hope. So commit yourself to loving God, to serving others, and you, I promise you, will be more satisfied and happy than you could ever be following the world's way for your life.
Hello, the Bible reading this week is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, and verses 44 to 58. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all that he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything that he had and bought it. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up to the shore. Then they sat down, collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? Jesus asked. Yes, they replied. He said to them, therefore, every teacher of the law who has been instructed about the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old. When Jesus had finished these parables, he moved on from there. Coming to his hometown, he began teaching the people in their synagogue, and they were amazed. Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers, they asked. Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary? And aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon and Judas? Aren't all his sisters with us? Where did this man get all these things? And they took offence at him. But Jesus said to them, only in his hometown and in his own house is a prophet without honour. And he did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. May God bless this reading of his word to us. Well, let's join together in worship as we sing together from Psalm 110. The Lord said to my Lord, sit here at my right hand until I make your foes a stool on which your feet may stand. Let us worship God.
The Lord said to my Lord, sit here at my right hand until I make your foes a stool on which your feet may stand. The Lord will make your reign extend from Zion's hill with royal power. Your rule among those who oppose your will. When you display your power, your people flock to you at dawn, arrayed in holiness. Your youth will come like dew. Unchangeably the Lord with solemn purpose swore, just like Melchizedek, you are a priest forever. That he will ever stay. He on his day of wrath will crush the kings who bow his way. The nations he will judge, the dead in heaps will lie, the mighty of the earth he'll crush, all who his rule defy. A brook beside the way his thirst will satisfy, and thus refreshed he will with joy lift up his head on high.
The sermon from Matthew 13:44-58, we have the title, Looking Deeper, the heart of the matter. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. So the Lord told Samuel as he went to anoint the next king, David. So unlike the Lord, our natural tendency is to look and regard the outward appearance, to judge the book by its cover, as it were, to regard first impressions. But the things of the kingdom of heaven require an ability to see beneath the surface, beneath the outer appearance, to see more deeply, to see beyond the hurdles, to perceive things from heaven's point of view, to have the eyes of your heart enlightened, as Paul prayed for the Ephesians. The parables that we've already seen in Matthew 13 about the kingdom of God have shown the contrast between the outer appearance now and the eternal, deeper spiritual truth that will be made evident after the time. The parable of the sower contrasts the waste of three quarters of the seed with the bumper harvest of the one quarter that produces a crop 30, 60 or 100-fold. The parable of the mustard seed contrasts a tiny seed with the latter growth of a huge garden plant. The parable of the wheat and the tares contrasts the mess, the entanglement of weeds growing amongst the wheat, with the perfect separation of both later on at the judgment as one is gathered and the other burned. The parable of the yeast contrasts this invisible thing with its ability to pervasively spread right through the entire lump of dough. And our parables today, of firstly of the hidden treasure, then of the costly pearl, then of the fishing net or the dragnet, and then of the keeper of a house with a storeroom that brings forth treasure. All of these teach us to look more deeply, to see the deeper spiritual truth, the deeper spiritual reality, to see it now, in this here and now life, and to make sure and seize upon these things, to seize upon the kingdom of heaven for ourselves now. It's not just understanding, it's seizing upon it, it's apprehending. We are urged to prioritize the kingdom of heaven above all. We are implored by a kind of carrot and a stick method, as we'll see. We are implored to